So the Frank Mitchell phone-in now has Fionnuala Meadhareth. I can never pronounce your surname, Fionnuala, no matter how many times I say it to myself before I go to you. Meadhareth on the line. You can even tell from the moment I began the introduction, I'm going to have a run at this to get it right. Fionnuala, thank you for joining us this morning. You've written an article actually in the Belfast Telegraph about upskirting. You have obviously your concerns, and there's a good opening paragraph that says, "What kind of grubby little creep sticks his camera phone under an unsuspecting woman's skirt in the hope of a blurred snap of her private parts?" What's going on in the mind of an individual who does this?
Well, that's what you wonder, don't you? I mean, it's such a disgusting and sort of low grade thing to do. Obviously, a woman would have no idea that this was happening until she sort of, you know, as the case of the woman I mentioned in the article, a woman called Gina Martin, she was at a music festival in London. And what happened was she actually noticed the phone screen of a man standing close to her and saw a picture of a woman's thighs and underwear on it. And she actually realised it was her own. But obviously, in many cases, you know, you might not even know this has happened to you. It's absolutely outrageous.
And we were talking to Wayne Denner just a moment ago. He's an expert on social media, and technically this is not illegal.
Well, that seems to be part of the difficulty. In terms of the UK, Scotland is the only part that has a specific law against upskirting. It is an offence there. But in the rest of the UK, including Northern Ireland, there just doesn't seem to be any specific legislation that is just up to the job of dealing with this. I think there have been attempts in the past to use the offence of voyeurism, but there are issues with that because voyeurism applies just to private places like changing rooms or even in your own home. But if it's somewhere public, like in the case of the woman at the music festival, that really can't be used. So I think there's a growing demand for there to be some kind of law to protect women from these kind of little perverts.
Yeah, I don't want to be too graphic about it, but it is illegal if the woman wasn't wearing underwear.
That seems to be part. This is, seems absolutely awful when I began to look into this issue, that apparently Gina Martin, the woman at the music festival, was told if she hadn't been wearing underwear, there might have been some chance of taking action against the person who did this to her. So, I mean, but like, it's awful that we even have to be thinking of that kind of thing. You know, it's just, there's something so absurd about it as well as disgusting.
I suppose if we go back, and I mentioned this earlier, to some of the body healing type comedies, there's always been a joke element to that sort of behaviour. We would have thought that that belongs to a long and distant past.
Well, I don't know if there's ever a time where we thought it was a joke to sort of take pictures of women's private parts for fun. You know, I just don't think that that was ever the case. I hope not. But I certainly think, particularly today, there's much more awareness of just the offence and the outrage that's caused by this. I mean, sure, to me, it's a form of sexual harassment. I mean, again, there's obviously issues in law with that. But to do this to a woman and then sort of privately get off on these kinds of images, I think everyone would have to agree is completely sick.
It did hit the headlines here via Enniskillen Royal Grammar School. They had problems with one pupil.
That's right. Well, I want to be pretty careful with this because there's not that much information in the public domain, but I did mention it in the column that I wrote in the Telegraph. Basically, what happened was there was a teenage pupil at that school who was suspended for a total of 17 days over inappropriate images of two female members of staff. And what happened there was the PSNI investigated and the case went to the Public Prosecution Service, but it decided not to prosecute the pupil. And again, we're up against the same issue of the law. The PPS said that the activities reported to them by police as having been committed didn't actually constitute an offence in criminal law. And the PPS actually also said that the women teachers involved were not observed doing a private act. And again, therefore, the evidential test in respect of the offence of voyeurism wasn't met. So this is what we keep coming back up against. There's no law to protect women from this.
And I'm not speaking about Enniskillen Royal Grammar School when I ask this next question. Is there a possibility that youngsters generally don't realise how serious an issue it is?
I think there is a more general possibility of that, and that's why it's really important that we have these kind of public discussions about these issues so that everybody is quite clear that this is not some kind of smutty little joke or something to laugh at or, you know, harmless. It is actually really harmful because if you think about it, what you're doing is you're completely invading a woman's privacy and her own bodily autonomy. You know, a woman just going about her normal business, doing whatever she has to do. And, you know, this sort of opportunistic practice then occurs. And it's just, you know, I think the more we talk about it, the more we condemn it and the more we highlight it, the better, because then there's some hope that, you know, younger people coming along realise that this is just not acceptable.
This sort of pathetic individual has existed, as I say. It's been used in comedy. Men have also been accused and, indeed, in the past have had shiny shoes and reflective shoes, and they would stand close to a girl with a skirt and, you know, leer into the image that they could see in their shoe. This is a disgusting behaviour that has happened in the past as well. But it is even more serious whenever you are taking photographs and sharing them in the public domain.
Well, that's it. Apparently, I hadn't realised this again until I started to look into the issue, but apparently there's whole websites, well, maybe, you know, it's not that surprising, but there's whole websites that are actually dedicated to these stolen images. So you could find, I mean, that's one of the most horrible things about it. Women, girls and women could, you know, have had these pictures taken completely unawares in most cases, I would say, and then they could be shown on these particular websites. So, you know, it's just in every respect, it's a disgusting thing. And I think the more awareness that there is of it, the better. And, you know, it is being taken seriously elsewhere. MPs at Westminster have been raising it. Justice Secretary David Lidington is currently examining the need for legislation in England, Wales. As I say, Scotland already has a law against it. Obviously, because things are completely in disarray in Northern Ireland, we haven't a hope in heck of getting any kind of adaptation to the law.
Do we have to get a message across to young people? Is there an element of education that's needed for young teenage boys in particular about how vile an undertaking this is?
Well, I certainly think it could be part of sex and relationship education that schools are required to do. I think it would be a valuable thing. I would like to think, though, that most young men would realise that this is a disgusting and highly inappropriate thing to do. I would like to think that most of them would have some sense that it does violate a woman's privacy and is a form of harassment, whether it's constituted in law or not. So I'd like to think that was the case. I'd like to think that those were fairly isolated incidents where young men have been involved in this kind of thing.
I notice a text that says the press have been doing this for years for famous women getting out of cars and whatever. If a scantily clad, and that's the only way I can describe it, if a woman with an exceptionally short skirt is maybe the way of putting it diplomatically, is getting out of a car, should the press not be flashing their flash bulbs, so to speak, to take photographs of her? Some of them do, I suppose, crop the picture to ensure that they highlight her underwear. The press have been guilty of that. Is there a difference between that sort of activity and the totally secretive actions, pathetically secretive actions of someone who is taking the photograph of a woman who has no knowledge at all that she's going to be photographed? Are the two women, and this is the diplomatic way of putting it, due the same amount of protection when it comes to the photograph being taken?
Yes, I think they are. I mean, obviously, they're slightly different scenarios, but I think both are a really gross violation of that woman's privacy. And, you know, it's a really good point to make about the upskirt pictures in the press or the attempts to get those pictures. That's a vile practice. I mean, it's so base. It's so disgusting. So, you know, it's not so far away from the situation where somebody's trying to do that, you know, privately and secretly, which, of course, does make it even worse. It makes it even worse because there's something so insidious about that someone would try to, you know, do something so utterly beyond the woman's control. Do you know what I mean? But I think both practices are absolutely repugnant.
But does the woman who's getting out of the car with the flashbulbs all around, who is wearing the exceptionally short skirt, who's got the high heels, who's maybe swigging a bottle of champagne as she goes into the nightclub, has she a duty to ensure that she gets out in a more dignified way?
No, she can do whatever the heck she likes. She shouldn't have some perverts hanging around trying to look at her underwear, whether they're press photographers or not.
Fionnuala, I love your style. Thanks for coming on. Thank you. Thank you. Fionnuala Meredith, your opinions are very welcome. 90-333-105, 077-66-105. Fionnuala, are you still with us?
I am, yeah.
Because actually there was one other thing that I did want to touch on, and I was reading this yesterday, and we brought it up yesterday, and we're so busy we never got a chance to pursue it. We noticed that there's a girls' school in England that have been banned from wearing skirts altogether. The girls aren't allowed to wear skirts because it's gender-neutral uniform. People who would be transgender won't be embarrassed in any way because everyone's going to be wearing trousers. Is that unfair on young women to take away the opportunity to wear a skirt?
Well, I think the intention is well-meaning, to try to sort of create a level playing ground for everyone so that everyone feels comfortable. But it does seem kind of absurd that they're not allowed to wear skirts at all. It'd be nice if they had the option, you know, skirts or trousers. What would be wrong with that? To sort of suddenly say skirts are very bad and not to wear those seems to be, you know, getting a little bit excessive.
But apparently there are three transgender pupils in the school, and if everyone's wearing trousers, then there's no dilemma for the for those three kids.
Well, I think it's really important to be sensitive to trans kids. I think that's really vital. But, you know, I still don't see how it will harm the trans kids if, you know, you allow the situation where people could choose to wear skirts or trousers.
Yeah, the child should be able to choose. The transgender child should be able to choose as well.
Exactly, that's the thing, you know, and I don't see how that would cause any particular issue to the transgender child if everyone is in that position and if everybody can make a choice. I think it's important to be as accommodating as possible to trans children's needs, while at the same time not overplaying gender. Gender, sex and gender is something that I'm personally very interested in. It's not the be-all and end-all. And when, you know, children are young, there's all sorts of things they should be thinking about, not agonising for ages over whether to wear skirts or trousers. You know, it doesn't really matter. As long as everybody feels comfortable, as long as everybody's needs are taken into account, then I'd say, you know, let the kids choose themselves.
Yeah, but is there not an element there of the school being uncomfortable with the child who is transgender, maybe looking a little different when the child would be expected maybe to be wearing trousers but is now wearing a skirt, that it's going to lead to maybe some bullying of that child in the school, and the easiest thing for the school is just to get over the issue by everyone wearing trousers?
Well, maybe that is the motivation on behalf of the school, that they're trying to just sort of, you know, sort it all out so it just doesn't become an issue anymore. But, you know, I still don't really see that there's that much difficulty. If girls want to wear skirts, you know, to ban girls from wearing skirts seems absurd to me. And, you know, by all means, they can wear trousers if they want. It'd be great to have the choice. It's just as equally absurd to say girls must wear skirts. You know, to sort of get draconian on this, I don't think is helpful to anyone.
And we've made excellent progress, even in the last decade, haven't we, with transgender people in our presence, whereby I remember, I don't know if you're old enough or not, but I remember if you saw a transgender person or a person dressed in a way that was different from everyone else, you did look. You thought, my goodness me, now you don't look. And that's an ongoing education, isn't it?
I really hope things are changing for the better for trans people. It's something I've taken an interest in for quite some time. And in fact, I'm actually an honorary member of the Belfast Butterfly Club, which is a transgender support group. I wrote an article about them in the past, and they were very pleased with it and kindly offered me that honorary membership, which I was delighted to take. A lovely bunch of people. And but when I was speaking to some of them, you know, who perhaps are of an older generation, you know, some of the stories they told about the hostility and the oppression that they faced living here was just heartbreaking, really heartbreaking. I remember one of them said to me, would you be happy to walk along the street beside me? And I said, yeah, of course. But, you know, there was something really poignant about even being asked that question. So if things are improving for trans people, I really hope they are, then that's obviously a good thing.
Fionnuala, I'm agreeing with practically everything you're saying this morning. Thanks for joining us. Thank you. Fionnuala Meredith from the Belfast Telegraph. Your opinions, please. 90-333-105. Let me speak to, is it Jimmy who's in this line? Good morning, Jimmy.
Hello.
Yes, Jimmy. What's on your mind?
I was going to say, whenever I was working in France, on a Sunday, we used to go into Paris, you know, to pass the day. And there was a bicycle race on, and we were watching the bicycle pass. And I noticed this man. I thought he's up to something here. So I went over and I stood close to him. I thought he was actually putting his hand in people's pockets and pinching something. But he didn't. He didn't take his hand out of his pocket or anything. And he kept moving the bike, but he was up to something. And then I thought he had left something on the ground because he kept looking down at the ground. So I thought to myself, I'll go way over a bit closer and see what he's up to. And a couple of minutes after I said him, I tried on what he was up to. he had a paper bag and he had the mirror off the, you know, off the side of the bus or off a lorry, and that was on its flat in the bottom of the bag, and he was holding the bag over underneath the girl's skirts and then looking down into the bag.
What went through your mind? Did you think to yourself, this guy is so sick, it's beyond belief? Did you feel like saying, yeah, you know, what have you got in the bag? Did you ball him
no,
out?
Actually, the woman turned around and she thought we're up to something. I says he's got a mirror in the bag. He's living up your skirt. She just turned around and slapped him on the face.
Yeah, fair play to her. I just wonder what's going through the head of a guy who, number one, wants to do that or needs to do that.
In Paris, there's plenty of places to go if you're like that, but you don't have to stand on the street and look up at your skirt.
Yes, it really is as pathetic an undertaking as I can imagine. Jimmy, thank you for it. It's going on everywhere. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Have you ever been the victim of an upskirter? Do let us know. Have you confronted them like the lady in Paris and hit them, as the man says, a dig in the bake?
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.